Today is the day we consider what it means to get saved and what it means to be forgiven. How real our sin is and the battle to overcome it. And as we think of God and we think of God being all-powerful and we think of, and there's a little bit of a misunderstanding about what God can do and can't do. It's very easy, and you'll encounter this in your life. Probably already have. Well, God can do anything. That's the nature of God. God can do anything. And that's not exactly right. For example, God cannot be unjust. God cannot lie. There are any number of things, I don't know if y'all somewhere in some college dorm room or somewhere in some conversation with some smart alecky person that doesn't want to talk about, doesn't want to believe in God. It's like, well, God can't, got you. We say the believer says God can do anything. We'll say, well, can God make a rock that God can't move? Right. Isn't that clever? That just disproves God right there. Well, we can get on with the rest of our lives. All right. There's any number of things that God can't do. It is an improper definition of God to say, well, God can just do anything. And so I think we come and we think about forgiveness and we say, well, and we look at the crucifixion and we look at how hard it is and we look at, and we say, well, can't God just forgive? Can't God just forgive our sins? Why do we have to go through all this? Why does Jesus have to go through all of this? Can't God just forgive? And the answer is, no, he can't. Because that's not how relationship works, and that's not how forgiveness works. Think about how you forgive. And let me just warn you, I don't know all of you. Yeah, excuse me, I don't know your whole forgiving process. All right, I'll just talk about myself, right? We cannot forgive as well as God can forgive. But I would argue that you get the insight into how God forgives. We are made in his image. And when we do it perfectly even, with the best heart, with the person we love the most, when real sin has been done, when real injury to relationship has been done, you and I, in our best moments, cannot just forgive. Here is the nature of sin and broken relationship. Someone has to pay. That is what makes our sin real. That's one of the reasons why we want to avoid sin. That's one of the reasons why sin is deadly and destructive, because it creates something for which someone has to pay. Some of you in this room, this will be the eighth time you've heard this story. For Stacy, this will be in the 50s. All right. Some of you may be new. Good for y'all. I'm so tickled. All right. My dad, we bought the house when I was 6 months old. I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina. We moved from Greensboro, North Carolina to Eastern Tennessee. And I didn't even know what was going on. But my dad had two sons, and he wanted his sons to have a big enough yard to play ball in. And so he bought this lot and built this house, and it had a big yard, and it had this little fenced-in area where we kept the dog about from here to about halfway down the aisle here. And then there was a lot in there from about here to the road. And our house was the gathering place for playing baseball. And about 30 feet behind home plate, there was our living room that had this giant plate glass window. Okay. We didn't think to move somewhere else, all right? Because this is by far the biggest yard. But we had this elaborate, this 9-10-year-old elaborate system. If by chance Someone pitches the ball and someone bats the ball and it goes straight back and it breaks the plate glass window. The pitcher would be responsible for 30% of the cost. Like he had that kind of money. The batter would be in charge of 50% of the cost, and everyone who played, we would spit the 20%. I'm sure that's exactly how it would have happened. This never happened. The plate glass window survived all of our childhoods. But let's just imagine what would have happened if we had broken it. See, even little stupid kids that don't have the money, but hey, we got to think this up so we can keep playing, all right? Even we knew that when a wrong occurred, one of three things was going to happen. One is the players would pay the cost. Two, my mom and dad would pay the cost. Three, my dad would go, it's fine. All right. And my mom would pay the cost of having a plate glass window in her living room that was broken. All right. Somebody's going to pay the cost. There is no such thing as just forgiving. That is not how it works. That is not how God has ordered thee. When someone offends you, when someone sins against you, here is the greatest lie we tell. Oh, it was nothing. Oh, it was something. Somebody's going to pay. Either you're going to be hurt, and you're going to carry the hurt. Or you're going to get your pound of flesh out of them, and they're going to pay. Or you're going to talk bad about them, or you're going to be mean to them, or you're going to enjoy it when they fail. Someone's going to pay. That is how relationship works. That's how forgiveness works. And here's what Good Friday is. God can't just forgive, because he also can't be unjust. So Jesus Christ says, I will come and take it. I will absorb it. That is why we think Jesus Christ is so great. Because however you want to conceive that, none of the kids playing in that ball game had the money to pay for that window. The gap between our inability to pay for that and our inability to pay for our sins to make it right, it's infinite. And Jesus Christ says, I will come and pay. And here's part of the great good news of the gospel. Here's another little side reason why can't God just forgive? Here's how you know somebody loves you. By what it costs them to love you. A God who can just forgive, it doesn't cost him anything to love you and me. It doesn't cost him anything. And when your love is not costly, it is, if I may say, relatively meaningless. It is, for lack of a better way of saying, the people that really love you, it really costs them a lot to love you. It costs them their time and their energy. Stacy, just today, Stacy was reading the news and she said, there's this couple that just had twins and they just had twins 13 months ago. Right? Let's just be honest with this. Children are an incredible hassle. All right? They're fantastic. Y'all are fantastic. All of you who are old now, when y'all are young, y'all are fantastic. Children are this incredible hassle. They're totally worth it. But they're this incredible hassle. That's how you know you love someone. You know somebody loves you when you look at the cost they're willing to pay. You know you love somebody when you look at the cost you're willing to pay. Today is the day we celebrate the cost. Because that's how we know we're loved. And I would argue, as we're trying to figure out the cost and where the cost is, it is in one line. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because there's all kinds of things we don't understand about the Trinity, but here's one thing we do understand about the Trinity. From before all time, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were loving each other and glorifying each other and enjoying each other, loving each other. And what my sin and your sin deserves is eternal separation from God. That's what our sin deserves. Jesus is our Savior. What does He save us from? The penalty our sin deserves. The ultimate penalty our sin deserves is to be separated from God forever. And here's what Jesus does. He says, I will take that penalty so that they don't have to. Now, here's an experience that we've fundamentally all had. We've all lost somebody we love. Quite frankly, we've all lost a bunch of somebodies we love. We've all lost a bunch of somebodies we love. And that is real. And that is deep. And as long as we toil in this life, that list will grow. And we begin to get a taste of how much Jesus loves us when we honestly admit that as good as my relationship was with all those people I miss, it was not as long and not as deep as what the Father and Son have experienced from all eternity. Our relationships are real and deep, and the wound is huge. That honesty requires me to say that the length and the depth is not comparable to what the Father and the Son were willing to pay to get you, to get me. And today is the day we celebrate that love. And we are reminded of how real it is and how deep it is. A God who does not have to pay much for you does not really love you that much. A God who pays this much for you loves you quite a lot. And here's another example of just how much He loves you. He lets you question Him. That line that Jesus utters is also very powerful. God loves you enough to not merely to say, just shut up and do what I do. Just do what I tell you. I don't want to hear it from you. Yes, I'll give you life, and yes, I'll let you in heaven, but I don't want to hear it from you. That is not what your God says. Jesus is quoting Psalm 22 when He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Bible is full of people who question God. The Bible is full of people who say, why is this going on? Why are you doing this? Why isn't it this way? How is this going to work? Mary receives the message that she's going to be giving birth to the Messiah. She goes, how does this work? God loves you enough to say, I want a real relationship with you, where you can ask questions, where you can be mad, where you can be upset, where you can doubt. Just keep coming back to Good Friday to see how much you're loved. And keep coming back to Easter to see how it's all going to work out. That's why today and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, the three most important days of the Christian year. Because here's where we all are. We're either in the middle of a Good Friday, where it doesn't look great, or on a Saturday where we're not sure, or we're on a good day like Easter Sunday. And we all go back and forth on those 3 days, all the days of our lives. And somebody texted me this morning, happy Good Friday. Sunday's coming. And the great good news of the gospel is Sunday's coming. So when you celebrate the love and you think about the love, just remember how much he's willing to pay to get you. And let that humble you out of your pride. And humble you out of your self-centeredness. That God Almighty thinks I'm worth getting. See, that could lead to pride and self-centeredness. He says, now go be my servant. You know, we have a day where we talk about sin, and we all know our sin, and we could be, you know, I'm not good enough, or, you know, I'm doubting. Let today get you out of that. You're a child of God, made in the image of God, and you have great work to do, and your sins are forgiven, and you are turned loose to be great. And Jesus went to hell to get you. keep working, keep trusting. And if we really get a hold of today, it will cause us, when he says, now I want to be number one in your life, and I want to control your life, and I want to control your decisions, and I want to control your definition of success. When we get a hold of today, we say, that's a great deal for me. And I'm going to trust someone as smart as Christ and who loves me as much as Christ does and has the power that Christ has. Let us take hold and keep hold of these things. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, this preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. And where if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in what we've talked about today, cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But we trust your Holy Spirit has been at work. And where he has brought truth, burn that truth into our hearts and minds and souls, that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.